We're on Daf Samach Amud Aleph, the first of the wide lines. And the Mishnah had told us that Mevarech Al Ra'ah Me'ein Al Tova, that once you recite the blessing of Dayan HaEmes on a calamity, and perhaps because every calamity has a certain potential to be something favorable, or in the ultimate eyes of the just God of justice, it's all part of a plan, and it's all for the good. Hechi dami. What's an example? Ezara yeshba tova. Can you tell me an example of something that you say a bracha because the ra'a has tova in it? Kigon. And the Gemara gives the example, the Shokal Bidka Biara, Nichnas Shetef Mayim Bisadehu, so there's a flood, and it floods his Roim, everything that was planted, or perhaps it flooded the plowing after he plowed. Afal Gav de Tova Hiladide, and even though eventually Yesh lo tova b'kach, demaska ara sirton, mala hakarka refesh v'tit, the land accumulates sediment, and perhaps some sort of a concrete substance, v'shvacha, and the water will actually be a fertilizer. The land is improved for years down the line. Rashi says, but hashtamia rahi. Nevertheless, right now it's a calamity because he's going to lose all the tefuah that he planted in this year. So therefore, the bracha here is dayanu emes. V'ala tova me'ein shel ra'ah. One should recite a bracha of hatova meitiv on something positive that happened, but it has the potential to be negative. And that's what the Gemara said back on the previous Amud. Like, for example, when two or more people benefit from something, if one person benefits, it's a Shechiyano, if you recall. Hechi Dami, give me an example of a Tova Sheyesh Bo Ra'ah, and nevertheless he makes the bracha tova meitiv. The Gemara answers, kigon the ashkach, he found mitzia, a lost object. His afalkav dirahi lididei. It could be it's very negative. It's not always good to acquire possessions. Why dishama be malka shakal emine? In those days, if you found something and the king heard about it, he would send his officers and take it away. He would abscond with it. And he might suspect that the finder was keeping things away from the government, and he might even put the Jew in jail for such a thing. But hashta mi atovi, right now it's a good thing, so you should make a bracha of hatova meitiv. So let me share with you two comments here. Well, the first comment is l'chora ein dai b'kach lomar sheyesh ra'a b'davar. It's not enough to say that there is some evil that comes with El Rakesh Chashash Shetistalik Hatova. In other words, you don't have to, in order to make this bracha Hatova Meitiv, you don't have to know for sure that there's going to be some evil. You have to suspect the possibility that some evil, or at least there'll be a termination of the good. And the second comment here is that if the Beis HaMelech will find out about the fact that this Jew found something and he pocketed it, then some ra'ah will come for him. But nevertheless, at this point, he's in a situation where he's happy, he has reliance that it won't happen, and therefore he makes the bracha out of this sense of bitachon, hatov ha-meitiv. There's also a Rambam that with regard to brachas, we make a bracha based on what we know now, the present situation. And we don't have to inquire into futures. And this nusach of the bracha tova meitiv is only when he has other people in the house and they will also benefit from him. Otherwise, it will be a shechiyon. The Mishnah continues, Haisa ishto me'uberes. His wife is pregnant, and he says, Yehi ratzon sheteled, meaning that he asks Hashem when it's too late that she should give birth to a baby boy. That's called a tefillah shav. It's a worthless prayer. And the Gemara now deals with the possibility that she might have a hapola. So the Gemara says, "V'lo mahani rachme." Tefillah is not appropriate at this point. It's not meaningful. Masiv, Rav Yosef. Yosef asked the question. It says by Leah that after she gave birth to Zvulun, it says the pasuk says, "V'achar yolda bas, v'tikra shema dina." My v'achar yolda bas. What does it mean, v'achar? It could have said v'telid bas. Omar Rav, what is the pasuk telling us? Li'achar she'don aleya din bi'atzma. When she had a pregnancy and she was pregnant with a boy, v'omra, and she declared, Shneima sar shvatim asidim latzis mi'yakov. She knew, although Leah, I don't know if she knew this based on Nevuah, but she's not listed amongst the seven Nevios in Megillah Daf Yudalit, but she was like a Misnaba here in this case. She didn't know exactly what she was prophesizing. However, there is a Medrash, by the way, that all four Imos were Nevios. And the Gemara seems to accept this opinion here. Anyway, she knew that the 12 Shvatim would come from Yaakov. Shisha Yotsu Mimenu. She already had six. She had given birth to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, and Zvulun. V'arba min ha-shvachos. And there were two Shvachos. There was Zilpah and Bilhah. And four Shvatim had already been born to these two Shvachos. Dan and Naphtali were born from Bilhah, Gad and Asher from Zilpah. So now there are already 10 Shvatim. There are two Shvatim that in the future will be born. V'im, if the pregnancy that I have, Zeh, Zachar, if I'm holding on to a baby boy, then lo tehe achosi Rachel ka'asa Shvachos. Then my sister Rachel will be even lower than the two Shvachos, because she would only have one Shevet. So she now davens that the fetus in her womb should be a Nekeva. Umiyad Nefcha Labas. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this miracle, and he changed the fetus from a male to a female, because of Leah's tefillos on behalf of her sister Rachel. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, "Tikra Shema Dina," and that means Dina comes from the language of Din, right? Because we saw here that it says Dana Leah Din Liatzma. She came up with this logic. But in any event, the bottom line is that we see clearly that her prayers to change the gender of the Uber were meaningful, were accepted. So why do you call it a tefillas shav? So my answer is, Ein maskir maisin nisim. You don't bring a proof from a miraculous situation. What happened to Leah was an absolute miracle. Based on the natural law, there's no way that the gender of a fetus could change from male to female, or vice versa. And therefore you want to pray that the female should be a male. And therefore, tefillah is not meaningful. It's a tefillah shav. Ibais Eima, Gemara offers another approach. Maisa delea besochar boim yom. This was within the 40-day period following conception. And therefore, her tefillah is meaningful. For the first 40 days after conception,
when the gender of the child has not been determined, as Kirisani, well, he learned in a brisa, as far as tefillos are concerned, that a person should be mispalel for ibura shel ishto, the pregnancy of his wife, shloshi yom rishonim, the first 3 days after they had an intimate relationship, yavakish odom rachmim, a person should put forth a supplication shelo yasriach. In other words, that the zera in his wife's body should not be ruined. It shouldn't become, shall we say, putrid. And that's the first 3 days. So that basically what he's praying for is that this zera should unite with her zera and begin to develop as an embryo. Because after 3 days, it again would be a tefillah shav, because the zera is already putrefied. But mishlom shaviyad arboim yom yevakesh rachim sheyazochar. If he wants a son, then he should pray between the third day and the 40th day, up to day 40. After day 40, again, it's a tefillah shav. And may our boy be on that social chadosh nivakish rachmim shaloye sandal. So from 40 days until the end of the three month period, the first up to the end of the first trimester, he should request and supplicate to God that the fetus should not become some sort of a sandal, which is like a distorted features. So a sandal is something, it begins as a normal fetus, it becomes kind of crushed in the womb, and that could happen if she would now conceive another embryo, like twins. So from 3 months until 6 months, he should pray that she shouldn't have a nafel. A nafel is a non-viable fetus. Now, after 6 months, it's possible that she'll give birth and it won't be a nafel. Mishishavat tisha chadosh, in the last trimester, yivakish rachmim sheyetzer v'sholom, that she should give birth safely. So we see clearly that up to 40 days, you could be mispalel that the child will be a zocher, the fetus should be male. And it's very possible that Leah, when she prayed, it was during this 40-day period. But our Mishnah, it says that a tefillah for the gender of the child is a tefillah shav, it's in vain. That's after the 40th day following conception. Or perhaps, not conception, perhaps following intimacy. Now the Gemara has a brisa which deals with the question of up to 40 days that the tefillah is meaningful to ask for the gender. The Gemara says, "Umima hani rachmi, does tefillah work? V'amar Rav Yitzchak Breder of Ami, that if b'shas tashmish isha ish mazriya tefillah, if his zera goes first before her egg comes down, then since his seed came first, yoledes nekeva, she'll bear a female child. Her isha mizras tchila. If on the other hand she emits her egg first, her ovum first, then yoledes zochar. So if her ovum comes down to the rechem before the seed of the husband, then they'll give birth to a zochar. Everything is determined at the time of bia. Shenemar, it says by Yoledes isha ki tazria biyolda zochar, and the word tazria is totally superfluous, unnecessary here. Could have said isha ki yold telid zochar. And it's coming to teach us that the birth of a zocher depends upon who was mazriya first. In any event, you see clearly that already from the time of the bia, the gender of the baby, of the fetus, is already determined if it's going to be male or female. So what good is it if the husband, for example, in this case, will pray for a male child? It all depends on the hazara. That's already a done deal. There should also be a tefillah shav. And the Gemara answers, the Braisa here is talking about kigon she'ezriu shneim bevasachas. In other words, the gender of the child is not determined if they both, he and she, emitted their seed simultaneously. And in such a case, the gender of the baby, of the fetus, is not determined until 40 days. So therefore, tefillah can be meaningful. Hayababa derech, the Mishnah says that if a person was coming along the road, he heard the sound of screaming in the city, he should recite a tefillah, Yiratzon shlotei besof besi. And if he says, may it be your will that this screaming is not taking place within my home, this is a tefillah shav. And again, whatever happened already. So what's the point of his prayer? Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Maisa v'hil azaken, shay bavad derech, v'shama called Tzvacha be'ir. He heard that there was some, perhaps, tragedy, there was screaming in the city. Amar, he declared, Muftach ani she'ein zevetov besi. I have no doubt that this did not afflict my house. The olav, and regarding Hillel and any tzaddik on his level, Akosavom, and the Pasuk Tilb says, Nishmua ra lo yira, he should not be afraid of evil tidings. Nachon libo batuach bashev, his heart is firm and he's confident in the Almighty. Now Hillel was confident that the screaming was not taking place within his home. That no misfortune can take place there. Now the question is, how do you understand this? I mean, many tzaddikim, tzaddik v'ralo, are struck by catastrophe, even though they are pious religious people. So when a person never has a misfortune, he understands and he acknowledges that ultimately this is for his benefit. He's got to do tshuva, etc. And tragedy is treated as a bitter medicine, like a physician gives you a bitter medicine. You understand that now it's very bitter, but it'll help you down the line. So he says that this is based on Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz, that Hillel's relationship to misfortune is such that he wouldn't scream. If he was confronted with misfortune, his response would be that it's all part of a divine plan for his benefit. And apparently he trained his family to assume the same very pious attitude, and they wouldn't scream. So if there were shrieks in the city, he understood, Hillel, that it wasn't coming from his family. They would not be screaming. Now you know the Chazon Ish wrote a sefer called the Emuna Bitachon about reliance on God and faith. And he says that faith in God does not preclude tragedy. To define faith as the belief that everything in the future will be favorable and there won't be tragedy, that's not faith. Because as long as upcoming events have not been ordained through prophecy, the future is not yet decided. So true faith is a belief that all that happens in this world, it's all part of Hashgacha Pratis. And there is an awareness that in a dangerous situation, the danger is because all things are from Him, from Hashem. And the comfort and the nechama is that even in disaster, there is still a possibility of survival. Hashem is no more inclined to an unfavorable outcome than he is towards a favorable one. So since even Hillel may suffer unfavorable outcome, we're compelled to say that he was confident that the screaming was not taking place within his house. There's a special kind of faith, and the Holy Spirit rests on him. He has almost Ruach HaKodesh. He merits that perception that God will help him out of every predicament. Amar Rava, Kol Heiki Didarasht Lahaikra Me Reisha L'Seifa Midrash. No matter how you interpret the pasuk, you're always correct. You can interpret from beginning to the end, or from the end to the beginning. Me Reisha, again, this pasuk which the Gemara quoted, Mishmua Ra'a Lo Yira Nachon Libo Batuach Hashem, Bashem. You can read it from beginning to end. Mi Reisha L'Seifa Midrash, Mishmua Ra Lo Yira. Which means that he shouldn't be choshesh that perhaps this evil is impacting on him, is hitting him. Umatam, why shouldn't he be afraid of that? And the answer is because nachon libo batach Hashem, or batuach Hashem it should be, that his heart is firm and confident Hashem. Now read it the other way around. Misefa l'reisha, nachon libo batuach Hashem. Someone whose heart is firm and confident Hashem, then Mishmua Ra Lo Yira. And evil tidings, from evil tidings he will have no fear. So what exactly is Rava telling us over here? Klomar, Bein im Nidrosh HaPosuk Kach, Bein im Nidrosh HaPosuk Kach, in either direction, Mashma'uso Hi Achas. The meaning and the message that's being conveyed, that's inherent in this pasuk, is identical. And the Marsha writes that when the Gemara emphasizes that you can darshan the pasuk both in this way and in that way, is because alidei kach nechshav adarkim kafal a pasuk es inyan v'chdei ladgisha. Really, the pasuk is repeating itself for emphasis. Now, there are rishonim that the drushos from the beginning of the pasuk to sof, and from the sof to the beginning, are two different drushos. That's the Rashba and others. And that's how they understood the Lashna Gemara. Because the Gemara later on in Daf Sofet Samach Gimel seems to imply that way. So the Rashba explains that the first drusha is coming lav tocha, shekol mi shenachon libo batuach Hashem lo yuna lo kol ro. That if he has bitachon, then he would not suffer. I thought that was the second drasha, but the Rashba identifies that as the first drasha. Lefia drasha shnia, ein kan el sipur dvarm shemisha nachon libo uvoteach b'Hashem b'shlemus darko liftoach al chasidusa shetogin olav lo yir lo kol ro. Now, the second pasuk is like describing Hillel's situation, that if a person has a firm belief in Hashem, he relies on Hashem totally, and he relies on his chassidus that will protect him. Lo yara lo kol ra. Indeed, he will not experience evil. Hahu Talmuda, Talmida, there was a student, Davika Azal Basri Rabbi Shmuel. He was following Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yossi, and where was this? Peshuka Detzion, in the marketplace of Zion. Chazye dekomafache. Rabbi Shmuel noticed that the student was very anxious. He was in a state of pachad, and there was no reason for it. Amalei, Rabbi Shmuel turns to the student, he says, Chato at, you must be a sinner. Because the pasuk says in Yeshaya regarding to the door of the Churban, Pachadu b'Tzion chatoin, that the sinners are afraid of Tzion. Now, in general, what he's saying is that worry is not a good thing. It's an evil characteristic. Whatever benefits derive from a general mindset of joy, and joy is great, as the Bali Musa tells, then there's a lot of detriment from the opposite, from worry. So for example, the Torah directs a Jewish soldier that whoever is fearful and faint-hearted, Yorei Varach Levov, is Yachsel Beisei, let go, return to his house. And he shouldn't impact on others, on other soldiers. A person who is very nervous, he's not going in the path of Amuna Bitachon and Hashem. He's very anxious, and he can impact others. This is a very infectious kind of disease, anxiety, which can be very dangerous for the morale of the soldiers. Rav Chaim Shulevitz has a whole shmooze about this. Could be the Rav Shmuel meant to tell that a person who appears anxious because some threat is actually anxious about his own sins, whether consciously or subconsciously. On the lace of the Talmud says, well, Ksiv, what about the Poskim Mishlei? Ashrei Oda Mefachei Tomid. It seems like it's a good thing, it's praiseworthy for man to always be fearful. On the lace, Rabbi Shmuel responded, Ahu B'divrei Torah Ksiv. That Pasuk is a reference to Torah. That means, with regard to the words of Torah, a person should always be fearful that he might forget his Torah, and that's praiseworthy. That'll push him and motivate him to constantly review Ducha Zora. And he's praiseworthy if he fears the consequences of his actions, if he realizes that reckless acts may bring catastrophic results. So a person should not be in a state of complacency regarding peace and security that he's enjoyed before. One must consider that his fortunes might change for the worse. All that is meant to bring a person to Yiras Hashem. But it doesn't mean that every time you turn the corner, you know, you assume that that some wild beast is about to attack you. You know, that's not acceptable behavior. And Gemara tells another story. Yehuda bar Nosa and Avishokil v'Ozel Basri the Rav Hemnuna. So Yehuda was following in the footsteps of Rav Hemnuna, Itnach. And this Yehuda bar Nosan let out a sigh. Amalei Rav Hemnuna told him, quoting a pasuk in Eov, that Yisurim boi hahu gavel asuya nafshe. Does he, and in a rhetorical question, does he want to bring Yehuda bar Nosan upon himself? Is he asking for trouble, for suffering? Tetziv ki pachad, pachet pachadeti vayasani vasher yogorti yovali. For my size, ushers my meal, my groans pour forth like water, because I feared a fright, and it has overtaken me. What I dreaded has come upon me. Which means that pachad, if you fear something, be ace. At the shalivisi pen yavol iros, you know what's going to happen at the end, Chas Shalom, is that these evils will befall you. So we see that the pachad for evil, for catastrophe, is in itself something very dangerous, something very negative. So why, Yehuda bar Nosan, are you in a state of pachad? Are you letting out these sighs? So to that, Yehuda bar Nosan responds, Vaksiv, there's another pasuk in Mishlei, says, Ashrei Odom Mefachei Tomid, the same pasuk that the Talmud quoted to Rabbi Shmuel in the previous story. And Rav Hemnuna answered, Ahu B'Divrei Torah Ksiv. Once again, that's referring to the words of Torah. So we're up to the part of the mission of HaNichnas LeKrach, one who enters an urban center. And the Mishnah tells us that he recites two tefillos. Ben Azeh says he recites four tefillos, because according to Ben Azeh, he has two tefillos that he recites when he enters into the city, and then two when he leaves the city to thank Hashem and to pray for the future. So now the Gemara brings a brisa that explains what are these four tefillos of Ben Azeh. Tana Rabbanan, B'knisoso Ma'o Omer, what's this formula when he enters into the city? Yirotzon Milfanecha Hashem Elokei Shetachniseini Lekrach Zel Shalom. I should enter into this great center with peace. Nichnas, once he enters in, now he's up to his second tefillah, Omer, after he's inside the city, Modani lefanecha Hashem Elokai shechnastani lekrach ze l'shalom. So this is called Hodah al Ha'avar. So that's when he goes in. So he's thanking Hashem for having brought me to this city safely. Bikesh Lotzes, he's ready to leave the city. Omer, he should recite the following tefillah. Yehi ratzon b'fanecha Hashem Elokai v'Elokei Avosai shetotzi'eini mikrach ze l'shalom. And he's asking Hashem to bring me out of the city safely. Yotza. Now Baruch Hashem, he safely left the city. And then he recites a Birchas Hodah. So he always starts with the Tza'aka, with a Bakasha, and then he ends with Hodah. Modah ani lefanecha Hashem Elokai shehotzeisani mikrach ze l'shalom. Thank you, God, for having brought me safely out of the city. Kach, and now he adds a tefillah. Tolicheni l'shom v'tismicheni l'shom v'tatzideni l'shom v'tatzileni v'kaf kol oyev v'orev v'listim baderech. So he now adds a tefillah that in the same way that you have taken me out in peace, so too you should lead me towards peace, to uphold me towards peace, to place my footsteps towards peace, and to rescue me from the hand of everyone, any foe or any ambush along the way. And this is very similar to what we call Tefillah Sefer.
Right.
And there's a whole discussion in the Beis Yosef and the Bach whether the two are essentially identical. So he here has a footnote. He says, by Mishnah, in the Mishnah itself, all it says is that when he leaves the krach, he should give thanks to Hashem that he left peacefully. So it's not exactly clear why this price includes in that hodah a tza'aka la'asid. It doesn't seem to reflect what we saw in the Mishnah. Now, if you look in our Chaim, Simon Reish Lamed, the Mishnah Berurah points out that the Mishnah is talking about someone who has already recited Tefillah Sederech when he left his house on his journey that day. And therefore now, when he enters into the city and leaves the city, there's no need for him to be Mevakesh because it already was included in his Tefillah Sederech. But this Brisa that we're studying here is not talking about someone who recited the Tefillah Sederech, and therefore those Bakoshas have to be here. Now the Bach says that our Brisa is not referring to, it's not identical with Tefillah Sederech, and these are two fundamentally different prayers. Tefillah Sederech is said when he leaves the house on the Derech, and it finishes, it ends up with the Chasimah Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. But this Tefillah that we're learning about here in our Gemara, that's recited when he's already on the Derech, he basically has completed his Derech. So the journey has terminated and he enters into his destination, which is a big city. And this tefillah doesn't have a chasima. Omer of Masna, Lo Shanu, when did the Brisa teach us that going in and out, you have to add these tefillos? That's only El Bikrach. That's only a city. What kind of a city? That's the question. Bekrach ain't done in the Hargimbo. In other words, it doesn't have a bezdin to judge criminals. But rather, in that place, there's no mishpat. It's kind of like a place of full anarchy. So they don't judge and then execute. You know, they may execute you even without a judgment. And therefore, when he enters into the city, he really desperately needs this supplication to protect him. And when he leaves the city, he expresses his gratitude to Hashem for saving him. Avol bekrach shedonin. V'hargimbo, in other words, if it's a city where first they judge you and then they execute you, so you get a fair trial, is leslan, but then we don't have to recite this tefillah when he goes in or the thanksgiving when he goes out. Because he could be very careful when he's in the city that he doesn't, he shouldn't be accused of any criminal act. I know the case of a woman who went to Russia, I don't know if you heard about it, and she got caught with drugs. And they wanted to, basically in Russia, they wanted to put her in jail for life.
This was the famous court case.
Yeah, you remember this.
She eventually was released.
Yeah, but Netanyahu actually was the one who achieved that. Yeah. But it took a long time. There's a lot of tension over it, you can imagine. So when you enter into a city, you know, you have to be very careful how you behave, but you can rely on your meticulous care, and you don't have to recite this tefillah. Now, if you already committed some sort of crime, then he shouldn't go into that city at all, says Rashi, because, you know, then he's going to be really endangering his life. Ikud Amri, we have now a second Lishna. Omar Rav Masna, this is the way Rav Masna said it, Afilu Bekrasha Donim V'Horgim Bo, even if they'll give you a fair trial before they execute you, nevertheless you should still recite this tefillah, these tefillahs. Why? Because if it'll turn out that they suspect you of something, Zimnin to Lo Misrami Le Inish Di Yolif Le Skusa, maybe you won't find a person who will be able to bring a schus, meaning who will be able to be your defense attorney and argue in favor of your innocence. And if that happens, then you might come to a very dangerous life-threatening situation. So you should be mispalel, even if you go into a krach, which is donin bo tchila and then hargin also. Tan Rabbanan, now we're going to talk about a Beis HaMerchatz. HaNichnas LeBeis HaMerchatz Omer, there's a tefillah for someone who goes into a Beis HaMerchatz. It's also considered a Makom Sakana. And by the way, I was told, maybe it's also in the Tzavos of Yudah Chassid, that a bath, you know, even you have your own local bath, could be dangerous. I know different things have happened in a bathtub. You know, people slip and they fall.
Yeah.
Nowadays they put these bars in. Yehi rotzon fanecha Hashem Elokai shetatzileni mizeh umikayotze bozeh. The Rosh has a girsa kayotze bo liosid lovo. And the Avodah Zarah explains that the Kavanah is for the Eish Shel Gehenna. So he's praying already about saving, he should be spared from the fires of Gehenna.
He's just going into the bush, into the bathhouse.
The bathhouse.
The
bathhouse is not so easy. We're going to learn about the bloodletting soon. Yeah, that's also very dangerous. Right. And that was common then. Val Yehara Bi Dvarak Kalkola. That no matter of ruin shall befall me, vi avon or iniquity, vi yera bi dovar dvar kakalkola vi avon tehe mi sasi kapar lachal avonosai. Wow. He's already mentioning death. Let my death be an atonement for all my sins. Omar Abai lo lema inish hachi, a person should not use that language of im yera bi dvar takola. He's being poseach pela satan, the liftach pumelis satan. The satan up in Shemayim is going to be makatre, he prosecutes against you. When you make that statement, then olahazik, you might suffer real serious damages. And the Marashot writes that dibur, that speech is ma'orer, the satan lekatrik. Adam Zemoda, he's going to come in front of the heavenly court and say, look, this guy, he admits that he's royal onish. The Omer Reish Lakish, V'chein Tona Mishmei, the Rav Yossi, Li Olam Al Yiftach Adam Pelas Satan. So therefore, this is not the right thing to say. This is not a smart thing to say. You've got to be very careful about what words come out of your mouth. Omer Rav Yosef, my crow, what is the basis, the source in the Torah, or in Tanakh at least, for this halacha of Al Tiftach Pelas Satan? The Chassid, it says, with regard to the Anshei Yerushalayim, they said about themselves, about the churban of Yerushalayim, and I'll read the whole pasuk: Lulei Hashem tzvakos, hosir lanu sarid, kimat kistom hayinu v'lamora daminu. It's the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya.
Shabbos Chazon, this
is Shabbos Chazon, excellent. Had not Hashem left us a small remnant, we would have been like Sodom. We would have resembled Amora. And we would have been deserving of being totally destroyed. And we needed, and we, Baruch Hashem, we experienced Rachmei Shamayim. He saved us. Because if he had not spared us, we would have been destroyed. But Dimu Atzmam, they compare themselves in this pasuk to Sodom and Amora. Maya Hadalahu. So what did the Navi respond to them? Shimu Dvar Hashem Ktsine Sodom. Hear the word of Hashem, O chiefs of Sodom. Hazinu Toras Elokeinu Ama Amora. Give ear to the teaching of our God, O people of Amora. In other words, if you're comparing your actions, your evil actions, to the Sarim of Sodom and to the people of Amora, with your Dibur, your Ma'orer Midas Hadin, to be Malame Chova, Ledmosam L'Sodom V'Amora, if you by your own admission are comparing yourself to Sodom V'Amora, who knows what the prosecutor up in heaven is going to, he's going to have free reign. And this is the basis for Reish Lakish Rav Yossi, by confessing that they were deserving of punishment, like the Sodomites, the people gave, in a sense, an opening to the chiefs of Sodom and to the Satan to be Mekatre. So they made explicit reference to, in our case, in the bathhouse, to the possibility of dying in the bathhouse. And that's something that you better not raise. Don't raise that issue. It better not to mention. Kinafik, when a person goes out of the Beis HaMerech, it's my Omer, what thanksgiving should he express to God that God spared him? Omer Rav Acha, Modani L'Fanecha Hashem Elokai Shehitziltani Min Ha'ur, he saved me from the fire. And this is reminiscent of all the sugyas in Perkira in Shabbos about the balonim. You know, they used to heat up the fire so that the water would be hot in the Beis HaMerchatz. And that's why we mention in our tefillah here that we should not suffer the fires of Gehenna. And the Beis HaMerchatz is kind of like a fire in that sense. But what do we call it? A sauna or a hot bath? Rabbi Avo, all...
I don't think they had a jacuzzi back there.
Very good. I didn't think of that. Rabbi Avo, all... He went in to Bei Bani, to the Beis HaMerchatz. And Ifchis Bei Bani Mituse. And somehow... Let me just read the translation here. He says, the floor of the bathhouse gave way beneath him. And he fell into a pit. You see how dangerous the Beis HaMerchatz is. Israch Lash Nisa, he had a miracle that occurred to him, and Kam Alamuda, he was left standing on a pillar. This reminds me of a place called Versailles, you know what I'm talking about? That Ulam Smachot, where the floor collapsed. I don't remember how many people died in that tragedy. And he's now hanging on to a pole. And Shaziv Mea. Mea v'chad gavri v'chad evrei. So 101 people saved him. No, I think he saved them. Let me see. The Hitzil Mea v'oh, right. He saved 101 people with what? With chad evrei, one limb of his body.
Itzil Mea, yeah.
Right, he saved people. In other words, apparently since the floor collapsed, a lot of people were in great danger. So Rabbi Avo held on to some people with his arm, and one man held on to another. They formed some sort of a chain, Rashi says, of 101 men.
That's a miracle for sure.
Yeah. And they were all spared. Omar Sorbi Yavot says, Haimim de Rav Acha. This actually proves what Rav Acha said earlier, that when you go out of the Beis HaMerkatz, you have to thank Hashem that you were able to go out in peace, because you see how dangerous it is. Now, the Divrei Chamudos, which is a commentary on the Rosh, I believe, he says that he never saw anyone being medaka, even the most pious people who ever recited this tefillah in the Beis HaMerkatz. And he says that in the Gemara's time, the Beis HaMerkatz was a makom sakana, because underneath the floor of the bathhouse, there was fire and water that was heating up the water, and the fire could sometimes destroy the ritzvah. So as a result of long periods of time, the heat coming from underneath the floor would damage the floor. But in our bathhouses, he says, we don't have any fire or water or hot water underneath the floor, and therefore there's no chash that the floor will collapse. We don't have to recite these tefillos. So that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. The Mishneh Berurah, however, does write that Bizmanenu, there are certain different hezekim through the hot, as a result of the hot water, and he says we really should be reciting this tefillah. He doesn't know why we don't. Yeah? And I think again, Rabbi Yehuda Chasson was talking about like mazikim and so forth, the different spooks and demons that inhabit these bathhouses. So there are all sorts of fears, not just the floor. Now we get to bloodletting. Hanichnas lehokiz domo or dam. So in those days they would bloodlet. I don't know if somebody told me that it might be coming back into style today to relieve high blood pressure. I don't know. Omer, you should recite the following tefillah because hakozes dam is very dangerous.
For sure.
And he says the following: Yehi ratzon fanecha Hashem Elokai, may it be your will, shehei esek zeh, that this therapy, li lerfuah, should be a remedy, v'tirpeeni, and you should heal me. Why? Kikel rofe neman ata urfuascha emes. And he says here in the footnote that there are many other refuos, and perhaps he says yitochein she's barer liecha liachizman she hayu elu refuos mazikos mashe enkein refuos hashemi. So I thought that there's a possibility of making an equation here, and maybe in other refuos, other therapies, we should also recite this Yehi Ratzon. But what he's saying here on the bottom is that there are many refuos which he says we find out later on that they were damaging. And this pasuk here that we're quoting of Kikel Rofe Nemonato means that God, your refuah is totally true. It's totally reliable. There's no hezek. That's the Ben Yoyada. He says, Lo yitzrichim b'nei odom lasok b'refuos. Really, in truth, we shouldn't need refuos. And that's what it says here. Lufi she'ein darkon shel b'nei odom l'rapos el shenogu. We should really be mispal to Hashem, and God will heal us. But we have taken upon this minhag that we are osek berfuos, that Hashem wants us to do our bit, our ishtabas. But once we do so, in a sense, we're giving ourselves over to natural law, and we have to pray to Hashem that this asek, this therapy, should be successful. Right. This really, you know, the last two words in the Kriya of this morning were Rapo Yerapa. That the physician should heal us. People should seek medical solutions to health problems, but at the same time they should realize that ultimately it's in the hand of God, and therefore they should pray. Omar Abaye says, Lo lema inish hachi. He doesn't like this nusach of Lefisha Ein Darkon Shel Bnei Adam. When you add that point that really we should be totally relying on God. The Tani Debei Rabbi Shmuel, because we have a Braisa in Rabbi Shmuel's base medrash, with regard to the parish of that we just read today, Chakova B'chaver V'rapo Yerape, Mikan Shenitna Rishus L'Rofe L'Rapos. That we derive that permission was given to the physician to offer treatment. It sounds like it's permission, but not an obligation. Which raises the whole question about a physician. Is he obligated to administer a medical treatment? But in any event, the bottom line is that we needed rishus to be merapi. Had permission not been granted to the doctors, it would have been forbidden. Because if we were struck by disease, we have to presume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cure him when it's ready to do so. But the disease itself is a divine decree. And this is the way Rashi seems to approach it. And the Rishus that we're given is that it's not considered that we're being so sayer, we're contradicting, so to speak, the Gzeira of Hashem. But once a physician is permitted to administer treatment, then we will see the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnayos and also Tshuvas HaRashba and others that say it's a mitzvah to do so. The Ramban in his Torah Sa'odom, Be'inyan HaSakana, says that in an ideal world, sick persons would turn to God, not to doctors. The Torah's permission is granted to the doctors and not to their patients. The patients themselves should really restrain themselves, but when they do approach the doctor, the Torah allows the doctor to treat them. The Ramban concedes, however, that such a standard is reserved for utopian society, a righteous generation like that of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who generally partakes of God's blessings bestowed upon their food, drink, and health. The Torah recognizes, though, that a generation which is far from that pinnacle should not be discouraged from seeking medical treatment. And the Pirkei Yosef of the Kiddah and Yeridea writes that nowadays one cannot rely on miracles, and that an ailing person is duty-bound to act in accordance with custom and seek out physicians. To neglect to do so is prohibited conduct. This is a gigantic topic in and of itself. Kikoy my Omer, after he finishes the Akazas Dam, and he stands up and Baruch Hashem, he's healthy, Amar Rapachi should say Baruch Rofei Chinam. Now what does it mean, Baruch Rofei Chinam? You are the free healer. In other words, in a sense he's contrasting the Almighty as a healer with the physician. The physician that takes money for his services. Lumat Rofin Basar V'Domi writes, Shehem Rapin V'Schan. Now the Rif seems to have another, a slightly different girsa, which we're more familiar with, Baruch Rofei Cholim, not Baruch Rofei Chinam. I like that one better.
Yes.
And now we'll turn to Daf Samach Amid Beis. Now the Pasuk in Tehillim that's the background for this sugya.
In the girsas here.
Yeah.
Baruch Rofei Chinam, he has girsas Arach is Baruch Rofei Chaya.
Chaim. Oh, Baruch Rofei
Chaim. Maybe that means it was a misprint or something.
I don't know. So the Pasuk says, Ki malocha yitzavaloch l'shmorcha b'chol drachecha. And we derive from this that two angels will escort a person all the time to watch him, to guard him. And the Gemara now quotes a braisa in this context. And nichnas l'beis hakisei. He turns to the malachim that escort him, his entourage, and he says to them, "Hiskavdu mechubadim." In other words, you are very honored beings, noble beings, and therefore you should ennoble yourselves. by staying outside the Beis HaKiseh, because Beis HaKiseh is a makom bazui. Kedoshim v'shasei elyon, you are holy people, and you are servants of the Supreme One. Tnu kavod l'Elokei Yisrael, give honor to the God of Israel. Harpu mimeni, loosen yourselves from me, separate yourselves from me. Ad shekanes, until I enter in, v'aser ritzoni v'yava aleichem, and I perform my will, and then I will return to you. Rabbi Lema Inishafi. Rabbi is the critique on these formulas. A person should not say hirpu mimeni. In those words, hirpu mimeni, loosen yourself from me. That's not the right thing to say, because Dilma Shavki Levi Ozli, maybe the Malachim will get the wrong impression, and they will think that they can desert him and just go on their way and never come back. El Lema, rather, you should say, Shimruni, Shimruni, please protect me, protect me. Is Rudy, save, help me and help me. Simchuni, Simchuni, guard me and guard me. Aid me and guard me. Assist me, wait for me. Hamtinuli, Hamtinuli. Achekonis vi eitzi shikain darkon shel b'nei odom. This is the way that people do it. Now, I'm not sure about the double language here.
Yeah.
And he says, in he quotes the Ma'oros, he says, how could it be that we're praying to the Malachim that they should protect us? We don't pray to Malachim. Ainzim tefila ela Malachim, ela kavanoso atem nitztavisem l'shomreinu. You were commanded to protect me and help me. And now I'm going into a place of Tinofis where it's not my fault that I'm going there, but it's dark and shel b'nei odom. We have to go because we're human physical beings. Therefore, wait for me until I come back. And then you'll be able to continue your job, your service of protecting me as you are commanded to do so. And that's why he says, Mishar Sei Elyon, Sheshmirastem Hi Betzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Avudram writes here, in the name of the Chidushe Ravash, I don't know who that is, that Ein Lomer Vakosh Zu El Abishu Yari Shamayim V'Chosid V'Ashkina Shora Olav. This is for the super pious, that very close there. Aval Odom Acher Lo Yomru Kevon Shinira Kiyura. Sounds like he's a Balgaiva. And the Beis Yosef, based on this Avutram, in Archaim Sima Gimel says, therefore Nisbatla Amira, Klal, Bedoros Halo, we don't recite this whole thing when we go into the bathroom.
Apparently the Taz comment on that is, Ein anu roim asminim kitzakdikim shem alachim elavim also.
Right. Interesting. The Gemara continues, Ki Nafik, when he leaves the Beis HaKnesses, Omer, you should say, Baruch Asher Yotze Asa Odo V'Chach Mavar Nekav Nekav Nechalom Nechalolim. I think he has a little bit of a girsa change. We'll see this again. Nekav Nekav, why he says it twice. In any event, Goli V'yaduf Nechi Seich Vodech Shim Kvaseh Echad Mehem O Yisaseh Mechad Mehem Yir Shalamod Lufanecha My Chosim Rav Baruch Atah Hashem Rofei Cholim. Amr Shmuel, Kashavinu Abba Lekuli Alma Ktsire El Rofe Kol Basar. The Rav Sheshis Amr Mafli Lasos. Amr Apapi Hukach Namrinu Lechavai Rofe Kol Basar Mafli Lasos. So again, he's going out of the bathroom. Blessed are you who fashioned man with wisdom. In other words, when God created man, he gave him the gift of wisdom, but God used wisdom when he created man with a precise balance of his organs and his functions, and created within him many openings and many cavities. And the poskim say that the correct wording here is chalulim chalulim, not chalolim chalolim, because chalolim are reference to hollows, not to hollow organs.
Apparently the Rif and the Rosh have that gear song. Chilulim, chilulim, not chalolim, chalolim.
So he says that the Rif, the Ram, and the Rosh have chiluim, chiluim.
Right, that's right. Just
right, but chalolim. He says, just one second. What is Alagir's? This is chalolim, correct? Chalolim. He says that's an incorrect girsa. Okay, fine. Because
this is what Chalolim has in the text. Chalolim, chalolim.
Yeah, I also have chalolim, chalolim in my text, but he's saying that that's incorrect because it refers to hollows, but not hollow organs, and therefore it cannot be correct. Okay, there's a whole thing here about Now the word chachma here, yotzer sa'adam bechachma. So the Bach has a comment here that the Lashon Bechachma is meaning that God created the Gufa Adam Cholol, so there are hollows inside, Kmo Nod Nafuach. For a Nod Sheesh Bo Nafuach Yotzim Ena Avir Derech HaNek Veinu Yochel Atziko. He says, look at the miracle, because usually when there are openings, anything inside will fall out. Like if you have a Nod that's open, Yesh Bo Neket. But man, yesh bo nekovim harbe, and nevertheless, rucho omeres begufo kol yimei chayav. His ruach doesn't go out through this, through these chalolim. And the chachma also is hiskin hakadosh baruch hu tchilas mizonosav shel ha'adam yakach yotzer so kidei sheyovel el hamuchan shatam shel mizos habracha sheyotza mipnei shekiyum ha'adam. Al yidei amazon hu b'emtzos lekovim v'chalolim sheyesh bo tzorach ha'ikul u'tchiyas ha'psolis. So that could explain the double language here, because it's the food goes in through these openings, those openings, and then it goes out through the other openings. So there are two different sets of openings. And amongst the openings, Rashi mentions the peh, the mouth, the chotem, the nose, and piat habas, the anal opening. So the double language, nekovim, is because kol echem omir, each one of the openings that we have has its own function, and chalolim as well. It could be that this is just the derech haloshon, the double language. And he says the following. Just one second. Yeah, he says that Rashi identifies these chalolim as the lev, the keres, and the bnei me'ayim. That's as far as chalolim are concerned. So it says the kovim, on the other hand, are psuchim li'avir ha'olam. So chalolim are inner organs, and they're not open to the outside, but the kovim are open to the outside. Then he has a long discussion about the girsas harif, chalulim, chalulim. Okay, we don't have to do that right now. And that's about it. Let me just read through the Gemara one more time. When he comes out, he says this bracha. How does he end the blessing? Rav says that blessed are you, Hashem, who heals the sick. Shmuel says that l'kuli alma, meaning, right, his father is called Abba the Shmuz. He says, Kashavinu Abba, my father, has portrayed everyone as a sick person. Right, if everyone is coming out of the washroom and he's saying, Baruch atah Hashem, Rofei Cholim, then it means we're all Cholim. You're portraying everyone as sick people. That can't be the Nusach of the Chasima. Now it's interesting that he speaks about Abba, because the statement was Rav, but I guess the word Abba means my Rebbe, not just my father. El Rofe Kol Basar, one should say who heals all flesh. Now how does that, what's the advantage here? Well, he says the ability to eliminate waste is called healing of the entire body, in the sense that it is healthful measure that will prevent toxicity and disease. So these are preventative measures that are also included in the word refuah.
Steinzel says that the Abba is Rav.
Yeah, but Rav is not his father, but Rav is his Rebbe, and the Rebbe is called the father. Now, we have the statement of Rav Sheshes Maflila Sos, who acts wondrously, and this is a reference to the human body. The structure of the body is truly a wonder, an act of genius. The body is hollow in parts and can hold air, similar to a soft leather canteen. That was the node that we spoke about. But again, if there's a hole in the canteen, then the air will escape. But God created man with numerous openings, yet the air he needs is within us for his entire life. The Avodram cites an explanation that the wonder lies in the body's ability to identify and extract the usable elements of the food and eliminate the rest. And the Rama contends, in Aruch HaYom Siman Vav, that the great wonder is how body and soul remain fused together. For one is of the material world and the other is the spiritual world. Yeah, I remember this Rama, because this Rama is going to explain why the bracha of Rofei Chol Basar Mechliyosus comes right next to, continues to, Elokai Neshama. And they're very closely aligned, those two brachas. They're all about the combination of material and physical and spiritual. Okay, Hanichnas Lishon Al Mitoso. A person is going to sleep on his bed. He should say me from Shema Yisrael until V'hoya Im Shamoah. I'm not sure if it includes V'hoya Im Shamoah, just the first parsha. You should say the first parsha, he says here in the note. And it would seem that the Gemara is instructing us to recite every word in the Torah from Dvarim Perek Vav until Dvarim Perek Yud Aleph. That makes no sense. It has to be referring just to the first parsha of Kriyat Shema, because otherwise it's more than 100 verses. So he quotes here that Tzlach, who explains that the Gemara refers not to the text of the Torah, rather to the text of the full Shema. And the Gemara has a point in doing so, to indicate that the words Baruch Shem Kod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed should be recited as well. Even though these words do not appear in the Torah, but it's part of the daily Kriyat Shema. And that's what a person should say when he goes to sleep, the Omer, and he should say a blessing, Baruch HaMapil Chevle Shena Al Enai Usnuma Al Afapoi. Blessed are you, Hashem, God, King of the Jews, who casts the bonds of sleep upon my eyes and slumber upon my eyelids. So this is a very interesting phrase here. Chevle Shena, the bonds of sleep. Because the whole body is sort of secure, almost chained in sleep. Somehow Chevle Shena. Okay, there's a long discussion about that. Umeir Leishan Bas Oyin. He eliminates the pupil, illuminates the pupil of my eye. So it means that when one craves sleep, the pupils of his eyes are frequently, are figuratively darkened. When one is asleep and fully rested, his eyes are brightened. And Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar teaches us that a person's sleep is the nourishment and healing, and it contributes to his lifespan. May it be your will that you lay me down to sleep in peace, and grant me a share in your Torah. Puzzling why we should appreciate God or supplicate God to give us our portion of the Torah right before we go to sleep. Since a slumbering person cannot study Torah, the Tzlach explains, we are required to study Torah at all times. The Gisa Boyom of Alayla, and the Pasuk says, the words of Torah shall not depart from your mouth. Well, what's the beginning of the Pasuk there? Before Vigisavo? Torah Hashem Mificha, right? So when a person sleeps, he is completely idle from Torah mitzvahs. To make it clear that this inactivity is not a shirking of his responsibilities, but rather it's forced upon him. As much as he's human, he prays before that God should grant him his portion in his Torah. Misagileinu lidei mitzvah, and accustom me to the authority of your commandments. Literally, to the hands of your commandments, Yal Tagileni Lidei Avera, but do not accustom me to submit to the authority of a transgression, the alti v'eini lidei chet, v'lo lidei avon v'lo lidei nisayon. He writes Shemelo uchal lamad bo in the footnote here. What does that mean? Shetehe mitosi shlema lefanecha. He translates it as, may my offspring be perfect before you. So mitosi here is an allusion to my offspring, that no unfit or wicked person be amongst my children. Lo yeh af echa mitzetzai posul o rosha. Vahere nai peni shan hamoves. And illuminate my eyes, lest I die in sleep. So the bracha ends, bracha to Hashem ha-me'ir la'olam kulo b'chvodo. We bless God who raises people from their beds with the light of day, so they can attend to their affairs. So that's the illuminates the world with his glory. Amir lo'om kulo b'chvodo. And he says that this nusach is pretty much our nusach, but we add Shemu Malchus. It has 84 letters to it. And even in the nusach of Eidot HaMizrach, nusach Ashkenaz, Rav Yaakov Emden says, Yesh v'brocha zu chamishim v'arba tevos. Only 54 words. Kibinyan mata or mita, mem tes he. Okay, there are all sorts of mystical writings here. Now, when he wakes up in the morning, he's going to recite a little kind of shama. So that Bolineder will cover in the next shiur.